good evening. My name is Herb, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'll tone it down a little. There we go. Welcome to our 12 Traditions workshop. Please join me in the prayer for an open mind. God, please set aside everything that I think I know about myself, my brokenness, the 12 traditions, and you, for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my brokenness, the 12 traditions, and especially you. This is the foreword as it appeared in the pamphlet AA Tradition, How It Developed by Bill Wilson, published in 1955. How shall we AAs best preserve our unity? When an alcoholic applies the 12 steps of our recovery program to his personal life, his disintegration stops and his unification begins. The power which now holds him together in one piece overcomes those forces which had rent him apart. Exactly the same principle applies to each AA group and to Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. So long as the ties which bind us together prove far stronger than those forces which would divide us if they could, all will be well. We shall be secure as a movement. Our essential unity will remain a certainty. May we never forget that without permanent unity, we can offer little lasting relief to those scores of thousands yet to join us in their quest for freedom. It is the purpose of this workshop to review and discuss each of the 12 traditions so we may better understand and apply them to our fellowship and to our personal lives. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I don't seem to have enough juice here. It's not the battery. So let's go to the short and long form of the tradition. The tradition 10, short form, is Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. The long form, no AA group or member should ever, in such a way as to implicate AA, express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, alcohol reform, or sectarian religion. The Alcoholics Anonymous groups oppose no one. Concerning such matters, they can express no views whatever. So I've got some thoughts on that. We have the normal culprits in terms of flyers, so I'm not even going to announce it today. We'll just give you a relief from that. I believe we talked about Dr. Bob's last address, last workshop, and he said keep it simple, and we really got the context of that was really referring to Freudian and also technological vocabulary. But of course, our step 10, Bill Wilson wrote, love and tolerance is our code. Our code is love and tolerance, and Bob had confirmed that our purpose is love and service. The tradition 10 is another aspect of attempting to maintain our unity as an organization, as a group, and the groups among the groups. The steps transform the individual so that, in fact, we practice love and service. It's an organic process. Steps 11 and 12 would be my translation. Love, our relationship with the mystery. Service, our relationship with humanity. The steps transform the individual organically as a process. The traditions guide the individual and the individual group and the groups themselves for actions, for love and service. They guide us as principles. It's an organic purpose rather than an organic process. The steps are the organic process. The traditions are the organic purpose. These are concepts that came to me as I'm reflecting and preparing for tonight. The magic cement I put down is love, and the evidence of that love is a manifestation of service. And of course, we see regularly in the big book the quote from the epistle or the letter of James to the Christian community. If you haven't read it, it would be worthwhile your reading. About a page and a half from the Christian scripture in the Christian Bible, the letter from James to the Christian community is about a page and a half. And there's a lot of stuff in there that you'll recognize from the Oxford group, that they have incorporated that as one of their basic documents, as well as the big book adopted some of the verbiage, like faith without works is dead. Comes directly from that letter. And if you've been around me any length of time, you know that the man who took me through the steps 26 years ago would very readily and often say, willingness without action is fantasy. Of course, he was using that every time I said I'm willing, but I wasn't able to get the work done. Yeah, right. He used it against me, of course. Willingness without action is fantasy. It's the same kind of concept. Faith without works is dead. No, the real measure of everything is behavior. The purpose of the steps is the deflation of the ego at depth. The purpose of the traditions is the deflation of the group's ego at depth. The traditions protect us from both individual and the group weaknesses, which we've seen from that chart that I distributed some time ago that talks about sacrifice. Each tradition and each step asks us to sacrifice something. And when you take a look at the origins of the word sacrifice, it's not a negative terminology. It's a very positive terminology. Sacer, meaning holy. Facere, meaning to make. To make whole, W-H-O-L-E, or to make holy, H-O-L-Y. Sacrifice is the combination of those two words. Tradition 10 is, again, a reinforcement of the singleness of purpose. AA is a spiritual entity. The groups have a spiritual message. And that's the primary purpose, is to carry that message, that singleness of purpose, that unity. And go back all the way to the beginning when I suggested that we have that mystical, basically, or poetic image of a body that has many parts and a cellular structure that really holds it together. But underneath even the physical cellular structure, the animation, the anima, the spirit, the life force of that. So we're really in this tradition, we're talking about outside issues. But outside of what? And I was struck by the simplicity of the approach of the commentary on Tradition 12. That outside issue, outside of what? The answer is outside of my relationship with God and outside of my sobriety. Issues that don't have any relevance to my sobriety and issues that don't have any relevance to my relationship with God is what is meant by an outside issue. Well, that really makes it kind of simple. Almost black and white, although nothing really is. And I had an example, I think it was from some of the literature, that says it's really a spiritual act for me to take my inventory. It's not such a spiritual act when I take your inventory. Yeah, really. So step 10 is a focus that Bill gives us from the 12 and 12. It's a spiritual axiom. Whenever I am disturbed, there is something wrong with me. I mean, that's the heart of the matter of step 10. That is being disturbed. In fact, Bill uses that word, I believe, in the big book. He talks about watch for resentment and fear and dishonesty and selfishness. And when they crop up, these are the things that disturb us that we're watching for. I am responsible. At the same time, I'm powerless. And the steps bring us to a point of exercising the one power that we do have, which is to say yes, to acknowledge the existence of God, and to consent to a relationship with God. I'm powerless in other respects, but I'm responsible for that with regard to the 10th tradition. Although I don't affiliate with anything outside of my relationship with God and my relationship with sobriety, under the flag of AA, as a citizen of the world, I am responsible for issues as a citizen of the world. All right? And I think that's a huge distinction. Not as a member of AA, but as a member of the human race. I have responsibilities to the extent that I have the talent and the inclination to intervene in terms of resolving some of the problems of humanity. One of the wonderful images that was raised in some of the readings was that literally, going back to that poetic, mystical imagery that I talked about a little earlier, is that if that's something that we adopt as sort of a metaphor for our life, the body and the animating force being the spirit, then in fact, truly, we're the hands and the feet of God as a manifestation of the divinity. God works through people. The organic dynamic of the 12th step, then, with the spiritual soul of our way of life being the 11th step, where we improve our conscious contact, we manifest that consciousness, we manifest that contact through altruistic service, through compassionate service to those around us. And the word, resounding word through the literature was peacemaker. We'll come to that. Am I a peacemaker or a shit stirrer? Huh? Very spiritual. A couple just random thoughts. To be useful really means I'm not invested in myself. That I'm really invested in, not in the sense of attached to, but having a value for helping other people. Not attached to, not invested in the sense of attachment, but invested in the sense this is my value to be of service. I'm not invested in myself, I'm invested in helping. And the word respect, universal respect, in fact, I think was the word in some of the literature, respect for one another. And when you then once again go back to that poetic image of the body and the unity of the body, then I respect my ears, I respect my arm, I respect my feet in the sense that I take care of all of my body, not just one aspect of it. I put the words gentle, humble, and listening. Again, the word listening coming up. Be an ambassador of spirituality. Be an ambassador of the spirit. See, these are just phrases that are just worthy of a meditation. Am I an ambassador of spirituality? Am I an ambassador of the spirit? And so the one of the major motifs, I believe, of Tradition 10 is to maintain our integrity, our primary purpose. Under the flag of AA now, I'm not talking about your personal or individual life that's not connected to, in a formal sense, membership in your 12-step fellowship. I'm talking about living your life in some form of anonymity, disconnected from any badge of membership in a public domain. We'll be talking about anonymity for two, in fact, full workshops. By the way, you know that we're not meeting next week. No meeting on Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But we will meet on December 2nd, I believe, is the first Tuesday of December. We will meet here on Tradition 11, and that's on anonymity, and then Tradition 12 on December 9th, and that'll be our final one. And that, again, will be on anonymity. So we're going to get a lot of rich conversation and experience and background in the whole concept of anonymity. I really suggest that you pay attention to the assignment. Don't wait to the end, because there's a lot more material in other literature than just the assigned literature. If you do the assigned literature, it'll be wonderful. If you have an interest in further looking at things, look in the AA Comes of Age, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. There's several sections in there on anonymity. I won't bother to give them to you. You can just look at the index in those books if you have them. And if you don't have them, of course, we have them here so that you can purchase them. Mitch. Yes, I say that all the time, actually. Our actions, our behavior, define our values.
You want to know who I am.
Yeah. In the sense of your behavior, not in terms of your profession, yes. Although... well, I won't go there.
People
what?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Acting with honesty, having integrity. So my sponsor says, my attitudes and my actions matter.
I like it. I like it.
Well.
Yeah.
So I think the two of them.
Nice. Very nice. In fact, I really like that AA, attitudes and actions. Yeah, it's kind of like the soul or intent and the behavior, how it manifests. Yeah, I like it a lot. But the behavior will, in fact, reveal the attitude eventually.
Because I can do good things and be pissed.
Yeah. Well, continue doing the good things. And someday you might want to deal with your anger. Correct.
That's why I think those other elements
that
you're talking about.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and Mitch's point underneath that is really challenged when I say something that's really black and white. Know that it's never black and white. Even that comment that it's never black and white. Sometimes it's black and white. No, how far can we push this, right? Yeah. No, that's thank you. Good. So to maintain integrity, my final notes here, is about wholeness, integrity. I looked up the word again. Integer, meaning wholeness. And no interference and no distraction. No interference and no distraction were the two words that came up. I'm not sure from me or from my readings. I make notes as I'm reading. I read kind of meditatively as I'm looking at this material, trying to make it kind of like have us coherent so that we can talk about it in some manner that makes sense. So let's take a look at the language of the heart. Tradition 10 would be on page 89, written in September 1948. And it's about a couple paragraphs there, and then there's another page on page 90. But let's stay with the material on page 89. Are there any highlights, questions, comments on that material that anybody would like to express? And we do have a live mic there, and thank you.
George Barrel, alcoholic.
Set one. Hi, George.
I got the first sentence. Alcoholics Anonymous has become as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar, and it is my Rock of Gibraltar. I mean, my life is based on that.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. What's the Rock of Gibraltar? I've heard it before. There's Gibraltar Savings, but what is Rock of Gibraltar? Do you want to?
Katie, Alcoholic Al-Anon.
Katie.
I believe it is a rock that marks the opening of the Mediterranean Sea on the African side. Does that? Oh, well, close. The Spanish side.
It's over there.
Yeah, it's one of those two sides.
All right. Yeah. It's just a big old rock.
Well, it's very, very, very huge. And the only thing I can remember is this phrase that when a sparrow sharpens her beak on the Rock of Gibraltar and it reduces to sand, that's the beginning of infinity. I don't know where, but that's one of my phrases.
Sounds like Sister Alicia's from second grade. Richard.
It's on the Liberian Peninsula. It's limestone. It's a huge monolithic.
Okay. All right. Don't mean to get too, but it's a very major, yeah. Because it's referred to in lots of literature, right? The Rock of Gibraltar. And I've never paid attention to it, where it is or what it is, but I just assumed it's a massive rock someplace.
It's an
icon of solidity.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So are there any other highlights on this page, 89? All right. Hence, we take for granted our continued unity as a movement. All right. Versus being separated. Let's go to page 90. Any highlights on page 90?
Hello? Is it working? at the very top, sentence at the top of the page. So the real question is, how shall we always be worthy of our present blessings?
Okay, I'm not sure what the context was for that. Let's just take a look. But should we, what? Take for granted, all right, so there's the connection. Though God has bestowed upon us great favors, and though we are bound by stronger ties of love and necessity than most societies, we're bound by the threat of death, actually, is it prudent to suppose that automatically these great gifts and attributes shall be ours forever? If we are worthy, we shall probably continue to enjoy them. So the real question is, how shall we always be worthy of our present blessings? See, when you see something in context, it takes on a whole new meaning here.
Yeah, actually, I was struck by, hence we take for granted. I don't take it for granted. That's why I'm involved in general service. But most AAs do take it for granted.
Well, and I'm not involved in general service because I tried it once. I mean, I'm not built for that. I'm just not. I have other gifts where I can make a contribution, but I cannot sit in those kinds of meetings and have those kinds of discussions without drinking. So bless you. I'm so glad. I see people who are really in the service structure and they go up the chain and they become trustees and at large and all the rest of that. I'm just in so total admiration because we need them. They do fabulous work in keeping the ship on course. Fabulous work. All right. And so we all have in the body, we all have our parts, some here and some have manual and some do the walking and so it's all wonderful.
It's Katie again here. I have a question. I can tell he's talking about, is it not on?
It is. Go ahead.
Okay. I can tell he's talking.
I'm just going to solve this problem for a minute. There we go.
Okay. I can tell he's talking about the sadness of the world war, you know. But when he talks about the religious dissension, I was wondering what historical, religious dissension.
What year was this written?
48. Well,
was there any religious dissension in 1948?
Well, there always is. That's what he said.
Well, what was the major religious dissension in 1948?
Israel.
I think there was a ship outside of Palestine that was going to land some people there that they didn't want. What was the name of that boat? The Exodus, right. Right around 1948. So that might have been it. I don't know. The what?
Did somebody bomb it?
No, somebody didn't bomb it. But that was the establishment of the country, Israel. Yeah. Because they gathered because of all of the stuff that went on in Germany. All right. So anything else on this page, please?
Justin, alcoholic.
Hi, Justin.
The 10th tradition, for it deals with the subject of controversy. Serious controversy.
Yep.
And I just know that there are so many outside issues. You know, I don't agree with anybody on anything. You know?
I agree with that.
Okay, good. But there's it's so easy to get caught up into my own stuff. And to think that I can change somebody's mind or you know, blab out what my feelings are. This is like a spiritual place. You don't do that. Why would we, you know, want to make a statement about something that's an outside issue?
Because we're human. All right? Because we're human. And that's what this whole tradition is about. Seen from this point of view, our AA traditions are those attitudes and practices by which we may deserve as a movement a long life and a useful one. To this end, none could be more vital than our 10th tradition, for it deals with the subject of controversy, serious controversy, as we talked about earlier. It's human nature. I mean, Socrates, I believe it was, said, you know, way back when, 3,000 years ago, he says, politics begins when there are two people in the same room. Huh? Think about it. Because there are two opinions about how things should be done. That's politics. Coming from the Greek word polis, P-O-L-I-S, which meant people. Yeah. So, on the other side of the world, millions have died even recently in religious dissension. Oh, we talked about that with the wars that had gone on. I mean, Bill himself was in the war of 1917, First World War. And, of course, this is written in 1948, just at the conclusion of the Second World War. So, he had really seen this chaos worldwide. Right. Anything else on this page? Worth noting, commenting on.
Hi, Sarah, food addict. I was really happy to read the truth about how everyone, thank you, how everyone in the world has turned reformer, and you must do as we say or else. And, you know, I experienced that within my own program, especially around the issue of medications.
Medication. All right.
And I find that very divisive.
It would be in any program,
and
right?
Yes, and I know that AA has had this, maybe still has this, issue?
I don't think there's a major issue here with Alcoholics Anonymous, but I don't go to that many meetings.
Yeah. So I have concern about that in my program, that there is a line of sponsoring that, the way I see it, furthers the stigma of mental illness by marginalizing people who are on medication.
Yeah, it's an outside issue.
And that's the major outside issue that mm-hmm. I experience.
Yeah. I can see where they would bring it into the... Steve, please. I could see where they would bring it into their fellowship because it is a substance that you're ingesting. So it could be that there's a connection there, but I still see it as an outside issue. In the same way, in Alcoholics Anonymous, prescribed medication is an outside issue, even though it's a prescribed drug and it is connected to perhaps even mind-altering, consciousness-altering. It's still an outside issue, number one, because it's not alcohol, and number two, because we're not medical doctors or pharmacists. And even if we are, in the rooms of AA, we're not. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you're right, it can be terribly divisive, and that's why the legitimacy of this particular tradition, because its main purpose is unity, not to divide us. I had a workshop that I was at the time of the two or three presidential elections ago, and somebody came in with a button representing one of the candidates. I didn't see it, but I saw a little covey of people sort of go over to that person, surround that person, and then escort that person out to have a conversation, and that person came back to the meeting still smiling, but without the button.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah, because it was inappropriate. Now, my meetings are not 12-step fellowship clean and pure of any kind. Of course, it's an umbrella over all a 12-step, but still I want to embody the traditions and the spirit of all of the 12-step fellowships in the room, so it was totally appropriate from that standpoint.
It just seems to me that because this is a disease of self-centeredness,
yes,
and self-importance, righteousness can come under that category, that we do have to pay attention to keeping it clean.
Yep.
About how our opinions are not necessarily the right ones and could be divisive if they're they're made into policy,
right,
in some way.
Well, the Big Book doesn't tell us to share our opinion, strength, and hope. It suggests that we share our experience, strength, and hope. And so, quite frankly, opinions have no place in the rooms of a 12-step fellowship program. I mean, in the spirit of it all, it's really about sharing an experience. Yeah, thank you, Sarah, very much. And so, go ahead, George.
Yeah, an example of that, in my home group meeting, a large meeting, a man with a considerable amount of sobriety discussed his opinion of people who took prescription drugs. And, you know, he was against it. He said, you shouldn't take drugs, period. And a lot of people got up, and I mean, this is the only time I've ever heard controversy expressed at our podium, because people were trying to say, you know, their opinion on it, or it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
One of the two. Well, none of that was appropriate.
Well, once he had opened the can of worms, it might have been good to have a discussion about it, as long as it's done. And the spirit of love and tolerance is that we may disagree, but not disagreeably. Yeah, huge.
Yeah, it was not too disagreeable, but it was still notable.
Well, that it may be good to have a discussion, maybe not in the meeting, maybe in a business meeting or something, or outside, about a controversy that like that, because it's important that people get informed and see different sides of it. That's a huge issue, and I could see the relevancy of it sometime.
The good part of that was the opinion, you know, the gentleman finally agreed that one should not have a medical opinion in AA, period.
Good.
So, see?
At
the podium.
Yeah, nice, very nice.
I'm Rob, I'm a compulsive overeater. I have no experience to share about Alcoholics Anonymous, yet I get the impression that, that medications must be a very controversial issue, because there is a GSO pamphlet about medications and alcoholism, because I saw it in an Alano club and I was so interested, yeah. I picked it up and read it. So
there's the pamphlet because there might have been some controversy about it. There still may be some controversy because people haven't read the pamphlet, and ignorance always breeds controversy.
But that's a great way to address the issue in a meeting, is pull out the pamphlet.
Or could be. Absolutely. Yeah. Or at least recommend it, right?
I did want to point to something in the reading. I like the paragraph that ends with the sentence, "That will be the acid test of our worth," I think is a strong statement. So what will be the acid test of our worth? I think how we as a fellowship respond to inevitable controversial issues that will arise. And the answer is, you know, respect the tradition.
Once again, he goes back to what Mitch had raised about behavior. All right, we'll reveal our values and our worth. And I go down to the second to the last full paragraph where it says, "We are at peace among ourselves, and because we have thus far adhered to our sole aim, the whole world regards us favorably." That's very, may God grant us the wisdom, meaning knowledge, like the 11th step, and fortitude, meaning strength, like the 11th step. Bill's really consistent here, ever to sustain an unbreakable unity. His commentary on tradition 10. So let's go to his formal commentary, which is the 12 traditions in the 12 and 12. And that would be on page 176. And I believe he has 3.5 pages of commentary on tradition 10. We look at page 176. Does anybody have any highlights or comments on that?
In the first paragraph, "Practically never have I heard a heated religious, political, or reform argument among AA members." Well, I had some experience with that. As a relatively new AA member, I was talking with a friend, and we got into politics, and we had diametrically opposite political opinions, and within about 30 seconds it became very heated.
Yeah.
And after about,
but you weren't in a meeting.
We were at a meeting. Yeah, before the meeting.
Fellowship before the meeting. I see. Yeah. I got it. All right.
But we're just talking, you know, again, it was at a meeting.
Yep.
And became very heated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after about 2 minutes, we just sort of backed off and said, this is really not something to continue. And we kind of avoided each other for a couple of years.
Sure.
And then a little bit later, we got to be friends again, and we actually did business with each other. But it took years for the relationship to heal as a result of that, you know, little 2 minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some other situations where people have expressed their political opinions, which are different from mine, and I lose respect. I lose a modicum of respect for them because of that, because, you know, they're expressing an opinion that doesn't belong.
But see, and that's why I tried to clarify it. In the rooms of AA, I don't know about outside the rooms. If you're outside the room, and you're not in the room, but you're there for the purpose of AA. So actually, I'm thinking it through as I'm talking about it. I could see that if, in fact, it's on the grounds where you're gathering to be in an AA meeting, then these kind of controversial issues do not belong in the conversation, because it might, in fact, prevent you from being of service to somebody in terms of helping. by implication or even indirectly.
Yeah, and then your mind is racing for, you know, a period after that or what you should have said. And
well, I'm not so concerned about the person, them. I'm concerned about the newcomer potentially hearing this kind of stuff and going, oh, for God's sakes, you know, and being kind of put off by it. Yes. Yeah.
Put off. Nicole Al-Anon. As by some deep instinct, I like that, we AAs have known from the very beginning that we must never, no matter what the provocation, publicly take sides in any fight, even a worthy one.
I think that's a terrific line there. And he says it by some deep instinct, meaning we have some type of natural intuition about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And then, of course, there are some people that have not been socialized properly because of parenting or early adolescent experiences or perhaps prison experiences that actually really don't know, like, social etiquette. And so it's appropriate to think about how to approach somebody like that and try to help them or educate them if they're open to that.
Dave, sex, love, and fantasy addict. Going back to George's comment, you know, the very next line is, so long as we don't argue these matters privately, it's a cinch that we shall not publicly.
Right.
And so even if George's discussion had taken place off-site, if it was with another AA member, that seems like that would cover that. And so I'm
he takes it to the spirit of it, even privately. Perhaps you're reducing your usefulness if you get too embedded in your opinion with somebody who has a contrary opinion. That's that's exactly that.
And in my work environment, I learned very early on, just don't bring up politics.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, you're going to have to work with this person, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You don't want to have an argument festering in the background.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, very smart, actually. I had a sponsee work with a sponsee, and I don't know what they're doing, but the third-generation sponsee-type person basically didn't agree with what was going on there, knew that I sponsored this man, and came to me and said, you know, I really like working with, what's his name, in all respects, but, you know, he's a very fundamentalist Christian, and he's trying to get me to go to his church and to believe in Jesus. And so I called my sponsee, and I said, knock it off. You can believe anything that you want, but you don't bring it to the people that you're working with. It's quite clear in the big book, their concept of God, not your concept of God. No matter how strongly you believe about being saved and how strongly you want this person to have the salvation, that's you're putting your philosophy and theology onto somebody that's inappropriate. And I've not heard anything about it since. But those are the kinds of things that sometimes you get involved with. It's no matter what and he says it, we must never, no matter what the provocation, publicly, and I would say privately in this case, take sides in any fight, even a worthy one. All right.
Okay, I'm not Nicole, but... the only time I think I've ever walked out of an AA meeting was a small meeting. There's a lot of very normal crosstalk. They're very old friends and everything. But they started arguing back and forth about the Gulf War. And I went, whoa, this doesn't help my sobriety at all. And I was, I think, the only time I walked out.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
hurtful.
I was in my early sobriety, I was in an Alano club at a morning meeting. And I knew that these two gentlemen had long-term sobriety, meaning over 20 years, and about halfway through the meeting, after a little yelling, they got up and started to fist fight. Yes, it was quite entertaining. So on page 177, do we have any highlights? Or it was, yeah, it was not helpful. But anyway, on page 177, do we have any highlights anybody wants to bring to the attention?
You know, in the second paragraph that, you know, nor does it mean that the members of Alcoholics Anonymous, now restored as citizens of the world,
yeah,
are going to back away from their individual responsibilities to act as they see the right upon issues of our time.
Yeah.
So it's saying, yeah, go ahead and do what you think is right.
Yes.
Just keep it away from AA.
That, yeah, and don't proclaim your AA membership when you're out doing what it is you're doing.
But, I mean, I interpret this as being keep it far away because of,
yeah,
again, my experience in the,
yep,
parking lot.
Yep, exactly. Good. Well, in the closing line of that paragraph, it says, it is imperative that we preserve in full strength our means of survival. That is the integrity of the group.
Mike, alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
And I know it's tricky. There's a meeting where they ask for any AA announcements, then they say, are there any non-AA announcements?
Okay. Yeah, and?
There's an issue. Someone came up and made an announcement about a Nicotine Anonymous meeting during the non-AA announcement.
Yep.
And there's an issue whether or not it was appropriate.
Who had the issue?
He's wearing a pink shirt.
Well, I'm wearing a pink shirt, but anyway.
Really? Colorblind.
I know.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but.
Well, but it is a non-AA issue.
And the meeting really didn't have a problem with it. And
I don't have a problem with it.
But then there's another guy. This is where I was really going with it. Who they said, are there any non-AA announcements? And the guy says, vote Republican.
I have an issue with.
Yeah.
But I also have an issue if it's, anybody have a non-AA announcement? And the guy says, yeah, I've got a room to rent. Anybody want a room to rent? That's just not relevant.
Right.
All right. I don't know why. This is an instinct here. Now,
Teen Anonymous.
A 12-step meeting or Herb's workshop would be just totally legitimate because it's helping people. But I want you to be very careful of the culture of the meetings. I say that often, that some meetings don't allow non-AA announcements, and some people don't allow announcements concerning this kind of workshop. So just respect the culture of the meetings concerning posting of flyers or announcement of flyers. That's really important. I know that there's a very strict AA group that says, are there any AA announcements? Are there any group announcements? And group announcements need to be cleared with the secretary before they make the agenda, which would then preserve whatever integrity that group culture wants to preserve, rather than having spontaneous whatever it comes from the group.
And I also have an observation that there was a running joke last week about Nicole, and I hope she has a good reason not to be here.
Oh, she's cool.
And,
yeah.
And I just want to throw on top of that, because we all know George comes up here twice as much as anybody else.
Well, we weren't keeping track, but that'll be grist for your fourth step resentment inventory. That's right. That's right. That's right. We can take advantage of everything. Yeah. January 6th, please.
I'm Rob. I'll just say I'm kind of interested in that. I don't have the experience in my fellowship of any meetings setting aside time for non-OA related announcements. It seems like you're inviting 10th tradition violation by doing that, because how is anyone supposed to know what the boundaries are if it's non-AA related announcements?
You know, I don't know how we know, but I've been in a meeting. I've been in a meeting, a Minsteg meeting for 30 years, and they asked for AA announcements, they asked for non-AA announcements, and never once in the 30 years that I've been there, and I'm there every week, Has there ever been anything that has been inappropriate?
Okay.
So I don't know how we know that.
Now, you know, since attending your Big Book study, I over the year prior to this past year, when I am asked to speak at a meeting and give my experience on working the steps, I speak vaguely about this group because, you know, in my experience with it and how much I have benefited from it. But I always say it's not an OA related function. If you'd like to get more information about it, talk to me after the meeting. And that's, you know, I'm pretty
wonderful.
Comfortable with that.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
One way you know is if it's in the format, and it was not in the format of that meeting.
What's not in the format? What's not in the format? What's no, don't write. That's a question. What's not in the format?
Well, you go down the end of the meeting and says, are there any AA announcements? But it doesn't say, are there any non-AA announcements when you read the format?
Oh, there you go. So the person stepped outside of the format. Very. Now, see, there's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Exactly. Thank you very much. Please.
Hi, my name is Ken, and I'm in SLAA.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. So just because this came up, I asked for an amendment to the format in our meeting, since all meetings are autonomous, asking to add something at the end of the meeting that said after they would say, are there any SLAA announcements, to after that ask for, are there any other non-SLAA announcements, so that I could mention this workshop. So anyway, as I proposed...
That's politics at its best.
As I proposed that someone asked for a clarification of my amendment, and that clarification I thought was very helpful for what it's worth, they said, well, why don't we change it to, are there any non-SLAA announcements that are 12-step related? To eliminate the people
pushing
their
really,
yoga classes,
really
or
helpful.
And so that's what we voted for, and that's what we do. And I now announce the Herb K. announcement in that meeting.
That's really helpful. Thank you very much. Yeah, see, the group does better than an individual. There you go. All right, I'm on page 178 or 179, since there's not much on there. Anybody have any comments there? We know about the Washingtonians. We've had some discussion about that. A lot of that's about that. I love the phrase, despite their din, our puny rows never did AA a particle of harm. Puny rows. Love it. What?
I doubt they were puny.
Well, you know, it depends. It's all relative, isn't it? It's all relative. All right.
Hi, I'm John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
He did that back here, too, in the language of the heart. Save minor and healthy growing pain. Sort of a re-envisioning of probably what was actually going on. But anyway,
yeah.
We were at peace among ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they had a very tumultuous beginning. That's why the traditions were wordsmithed out over a period of time. Yeah. I forget what he calls those times. It's like troubled waters, that early AA. I forget. Was that the adolescent period? I think, yeah. But there's also, yeah. All right, so now we're looking at the brochure, the illustrated. Oh, by the way, you have the little brochure on anonymity, and so that should help. The other brochures that were distributed earlier have material in there on anonymity, so you want to be sure, like the AA tradition history brochure, that has at least 4 or 5 pages in it about anonymity. I'm not sure about the group pamphlet. I haven't actually revisited that with anonymity in mind, but there's lots of write-up on that, and I'll be really interested in our general experience about that. illustrated brochure. Anybody have any? Most of it's a cartoon, but there's very little verbiage on this one. But anybody have any reaction to or comments about? Yeah, it's pretty straight. It looks like some meetings in the Marina Center, he said. Oh, come on. That's a good place to go. All right, so let's go to then the assignments. And question number 4. Do you set aside your opinions, or back to that, on outside or controversial issues in AA, work, personal relationships, family, or friends?
Hi, I'm Kim.
Hi, Kim.
So always good to look up the words, and opinion struck me. One says, a belief stronger than an impression and less strong than positive knowledge. A second component of that is judgment. And I think that's what hit me the most was judgment. And, you know, when I have an opinion, I'm already in my defect of judging others.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being reminded of this tradition for the simple purpose of no outside issues. So my judgment is an outside issue in any capacity. And it also brings me back to step one, which is I'm powerless over people. I mean, I don't even know what's going on in my head sometimes. I can't even begin to understand what's going on in someone else's head. And, you know, with the holidays coming up, and I've had many family gatherings where people have wanted to debate and discuss, and that gets me into my defects of justifying and rationalizing and wanting to be validated and wanting you to like me. And, you know, I'm
all the while wanting to be right.
Of course. Well, that's a given. Because the self-righteousness is the strongest component, mm-hmm. based on fear.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, yeah.
So so judgment really affected me. And also, too, I was thinking of the slogan, live and let live. That's something I always have to practice when I'm around my family and my coworkers in any relationship, because I want to judge what you're doing and I want to tell you how to do it better because I think I know better. But the spiritual component of that, the respect, the love, the tolerance is allowing you to be who you have to be and agreeing to disagree.
Yeah.
So I need to be reminded of that.
Well, and
myself.
Nobody said it was easy.
Yeah.
That's why it's the fork in the road or the road less traveled, depending on your, you know, what you're reading these days, right?
And that's why I really come back to step one, because, you know, I remember in your step study, the first half of step one is we admitted we were powerless for me over people, places, and things, comma. And our lives had become unmanageable. Unless I admit I'm powerless, then I'm already spiraling down that road of unmanageability in my head. And now I'm off in my defects, and now my behavior is affected by it. And now I'm just, you know, I'm nowhere near having a respectful, loving, kind relationship.
Right.
You know?
Yes, I do. All right. Baskets? Baskets? We're going to pass the basket. You know the drill. Thank you. And we're marginally meeting rent, so don't relax.
Hi, my name's Greg. I'm an alcoholic, Al-Anon.
Hi,
and
Greg.
SLA. And when I read... you know, I mean, one of the principles is rigorous honesty and to thine own self be true. And I feel like, you know, and then there's three things you're not supposed to talk about at dinner. It's like sex, politics, and religion. And but I mean, when I was doing the writing, and it talks about with family and with friends, I kind of feel like you need to be talking about sex, politics, and religion. I mean, if you're going to get to a better understanding, I mean, you shouldn't. There should be no. Well, you know, I don't know. that's just how I feel about it. I feel like.
Well, wait. You've been very, very ambivalent in how you feel about it. Mm. So why don't you be really clear about how you feel about it?
I think with friends, you should be able to talk about everything.
There you go.
Even
by definition, that's what a friend is, huh?
Right, right. And then if you're with I have a father who's an atheist. I have a sister who's really Christian, and I'm like, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? And they have debates, and sometimes I agree with my father. You're right, the Bible does say that, you know, it doesn't say, and then sometimes I agree with my sister, you know, prayer is good, you know, and I find every time you're honest with somebody like that, I always, even if we disagree, and if it's the discussion is done correctly, I always feel like I've learned something. So I've, you know, even though I know we're not supposed to talk about politics when we're at the podium or discussing it at a meeting, but I feel like with family and friends, I feel like it's okay, is my point.
Yeah. And if it's the culture of the family to have those kind of discussions, even heated ones, and they don't take it personally and it doesn't create the animosity that could come out of it, but it's just good, solid, kind of like, you know, learning experience, then it's wonderful. But if it's hurtful and people end up not talking to each other for a month or 6 years, then in fact it's not useful. So it's common sense there, isn't it? It's and the word I use, my filter, is it going to help? Is it going to help? And with that filter, then you can determine what will be the consequences of what your conversation is.
Okay.
Yeah. But I really agree. By definition, a friend is somebody who I believe should be able to be transparent with. All right?
I kind of feel the same way about my sponsor, who we think alike about a lot about politics. I couldn't be with somebody that thought just the opposite of me.
Yeah. Yeah. That and then that's a personal choice, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had the experience of being at fellowship with people in the program and something somewhat controversial coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And
good point.
It doesn't necessarily turn into a resentment type of thing as long as everybody treats each other with respect.
I really like that.
And the argument is more about informing them where you think they've got misformed.
They're just plain ignorant, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say about ignorance is the formation of that? I forgot what you said earlier, but I wrote it down. And, you know, if you can say, well, maybe you should take a look at this, and it comes from a source that is reliable, maybe you can change their mind, but you don't necessarily to. You can just justify your own opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It depends on if you're, in fact, you're engaged with somebody who has an open heart and an open mind in terms of the conversation, then that would be part of an education. It would be wonderful, yeah.
George, alcoholic. I just thought of something about the medication thing. A group I go to, great group, a lot of sobriety there. Two of the guys are on medication, but we've seen one of them off medication. My God, he is like as low as it can get. I mean, suicidal.
Right.
And it's odd because nobody in the room judges him, but every once in a while, the outside speakers come and they just blast medication.
Right.
But he's very smart and he's very articulate and he often straightens them out.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. But it's nobody in this huge group, but it's outside speakers that come.
Yeah, yep.
I have no opinion.
Well, I've seen people, actually, four cases in my 30 years, four cases of people who have committed suicide.
Yeah.
Because they got the information from somebody that medication was not sobriety and that they needed to give up their medication. And when they gave up their medication, they went into a place of darkness that they committed suicide. And so there are very serious consequences of playing doctor.
That just happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Long-term sobriety, who was in the Pacific group, he hung himself in Barstow.
There you go.
And,
yep.
And then now on his Facebook page, all the people were like, whoa, he probably should have been on medication.
Yep. So, what about business opportunities that are generated in a meeting? I mean, over time, we learn what people do in, I mean, or, my God, in my meetings, lots of people have lots of money, so maybe it would be okay, because I know about them, to approach them with a business transaction. What do you think of that?
I'll even give my real name. Richard Alcoholic.
Hey, Richard.
I'll never forget, back in the 90s, I went to Hawaii, the Big Island, and I used to live there. I moved there when I was a kid by myself. But AA was completely torn apart. It was brutal to go to AA there, because they had done this money game where you kind of, it was like a pyramid to the max, where you gave $100 and you would get $22,000 back. And they'd all done, it's just a fool's game, because the people that got in the beginning got their 22 grand or whatever it was. And man, it was bitter. Yeah. It was the worst vacation I ever had, because I love going to AA when I travel, and I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Brutal. Well, I mean, my bringing it up is just to make it visible, and that is, it's not been a major issue, but over the 30 years, I've been approached twice by people, and it was in the room itself after the meeting that they came and they gave me their business card for some type of a whatever it was. And I just looked at them, and I said, you know, that's just totally inappropriate here. Well, you know, they left the meeting, and I never did see them come back. But still, any type of discussion like that would be totally inappropriate. Or you know that, wow, the guy next to me, he's a medical doctor, for God's sake, and I got something to discuss with him. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's what that man gets paid for. Make an appointment for his office, and you can go if you feel like he's a competent doctor. But don't try to get a freebie in a meeting. All right? Yeah. Okay. So how about bumper stickers? What do you think about that? Anybody? I mean.
What do you mean?
Say what?
Handing out.
Oh, bumper stickers on, I have the AA logo and something about I'm sober and loving it, and right next to it I have a picture of McGovern or some other candidate for politics. What is that? So that so goes back a ways, huh? I tried to do that so I wasn't too relevant, right? yeah, really. But so see what I mean? All right. And or I don't have bumper stickers. I don't believe in bumper stickers, all right? Because when I drive into an AA meeting, the last thing I want to do is create anybody's resistance to talking to me about a problem.
But you are open to somebody else having.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
To me, that's what's up. You choose.
Yeah, right.
But I don't judge you.
Yes.
I don't honk at you. I just
let
you have that.
But see, you're a very unusual person. Other people scratch my car. No. Joking. Come on.
Okay.
Richard.
When I was new, I had a bunch of stickers, AA stickers on my car, and my sponsor, who he drove with me once, he told me to take the stickers off my car.
Yeah. Well, I'm just raising consciousness. Think about the impact it might have on preventing somebody from coming to you for help. That's all.
Carly Alamont.
Carly.
I'm from Seattle, and my hometown is crazy about a particular team. And I do not
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's a potential. I don't It's not quite the same, I don't think. Although, if you're from USC and you're wearing a UCLA fan shirt, that might have some kind of issue. All right, let's go to question number 5. Write a paragraph answering each of the following. Do you often feel you have the only proper and correct view? Are your opinions blocking your ability to listen with an open mind? Are you willing to be truly open to the experience and opinions of others without expressing your own? Anybody have a reflection on that or anything they wrote that they would like to read or summarize?
I'm Rob. I have a reflection. On that, on the first question, do I feel I have the only correct view? Two points or two directions to go in. The first is there's a very famous play and film called 12 Angry Men.
Oh yeah.
Where one man and then the jury had the dissenting opinion, and he had such conviction about it that he proceeded to change everyone else's mind, and. You know, I guess it's a fictional story, so of course he was right, and they saved someone's life. But lo and behold, a couple of years ago, I was on a jury, and we went in to deliberate, and I found that I was the only person who had a dissenting opinion. And I'll tell you, it wasn't a criminal case, so it didn't have to be unanimous. It was a majority thing. And I realized that me having a dissenting opinion in that case made no particular difference unless I could really persuade. So the second direction I would go in is, I think it was what Mitch was talking about, which is to look at not just action, but intention. And I think that's very important because I am, I almost always withhold my opinion, but it's not necessarily to avoid conflict. It's not necessarily for the good of the group. It's for self-serving reasons. It's to avoid hostility. It's weakness. It's not having the integrity to stand up for what I think is right. Mm-hmm. Often, in that particular case, after making some very weak arguments, I just saw people weren't very interested in listening to what I have to say, so I just shut up and went along with the group.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the perhaps, in a legal proceeding, that's one of the most important places where it is useful or it is appropriate, to really have the strength of conviction and defend your position.
Yeah.
Because, in some cases there's people's lives or freedom at stake. Mm-hmm. So I did not really fight for my opinion, but I don't think the intention was correct. I think it was a selfish kind of self-protection. So I always have to remember, I have to, in my pause when I'm thinking, do I speak or not speak? Do I act or not act? I really have to ask, why do I want to do this? Why am I thinking of doing this? Who is this serving? Whether it's action or inaction.
Those are great consciousness-making questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the pause and asking those questions that'll bring you to the correct answer, the correct action inevitably and eventually, but maybe not right away. But you'll learn from that as even you've been in discernment about that. So you'd be very circumspect about that.
And everything.
Hi, Dan.
Well, for me, the really hard one is with family members. With the world, I'm good. But with family members and people close to me who are alcoholic, and I think I know an answer for them, and I just want...
Well, no, you know people. You know an answer for them.
That's right.
And so how is your Al-Anon program?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because we, Al-Anon has a great saying about advice. Did they ask for it? So don't give it to them unless they ask for it. But if they ask for it, how about both barrels? Absolutely. Yeah.
I gotta share. I mean, my daughter is a very a fashionista kind of girl, and she's getting married. So she's went to like 5 different places to look at dresses, wedding. Yes, to the dress, and she kept asking me, "What do you think, Mom? What do you think?" So she asked me for advice, and I really was so thankful for Al-Anon. So I would just say, "Wow," you know, and well, I like this part. You know, so I was able to say honestly, and I learned a lot through that program about how to say honestly. Well, that's a nice little part down there on the end of the trail or the train. And I just didn't say anything about cleavage or the cross or something. And that is an incredible practice because I am a know-it-all, you know. And so it's...
So you made a positive observation about that which you could make a positive observation about. There, yeah. But you didn't hurt your relationship.
Oh, hi, my name's Greg.
Hey, Greg.
And yeah, when a woman asks you how old she looks, the best thing is to change the subject, you know, and talk about the Lakers or something. But, with that question, am I open-minded enough to accept another person's opinion? You know, it really depends on how I consider the other person. Like my sponsor, I'm wide open. I can count the number of times I've said no to my sponsor on one hand, you know. If it's my autistic, you know, 12-year-old nephew, probably not so much, you know. And it's too bad because maybe he's got a point that's, you know. And I guess, you know, I'm not open to everyone's opinion, which is I guess something I've learned. And then something I heard about earlier, you know, when you have a group conscience, everybody needs to participate for there to be a group conscience, you know. And I've only seen this in AA, not in any of the other fellowships that I participate in. I've only seen it a couple of times where one personality just kind of takes over the whole
for
group,
sure.
and railroads. Yeah. Whatever it is they want to happen, anyone who stands in the way just gets demolished, you know. Yeah. And it takes a lot of courage. And I'll end with this. In one of the concepts, it says sometimes you have a duty to express your opinion, you know, when it's of grave importance. I don't know what concept it is, but I that's one of the
yeah.
the principles I really hold on to.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at question number 6. Write a paragraph. In light of your experience and tenure, do you consider yourself an expert on your fellowship? Do you feel you carry the, quote, official fellowship position, close quote, on outside matters? What is your attitude toward medications? We've talked about that. Gatherings that blur the lines between AA and Al-Anon, local roundups or conventions, sober cruises, and treatment centers. Lots of grist for the mill there. Anybody have a reflection or anything they wrote down that they would like to share? I wrote, I have considerable information on history and extensive experience on the steps, but I am not an expert. There is no official AA position. On prescriptions, we've talked about that. I don't need to make any further comment. It's about balance and information and also staying out of the way of the professionals. The AA Al-Anon, I think it's a tremendous disservice in an AA meeting to make any type of dismissive or derogatory comments about Al-Anon. And I hear it periodically, not a lot, but periodically. And I've heard the same thing about Al-Anon meetings, that every once in a while there'll be some kind of negative comment about the AA person or about the community or about the big book. And it just doesn't belong there. If it's not helpful, So I say, as long as the event, this is about AA Al-Anon events together, I'm totally encouraging that. If it creates some type of understanding. That's why I love the workshop that we have, because we have all the fellowships and even people who are not in fellowship represented here. And the richness of the sharing and the experience is incomparable. It's incomparable. You won't have a mixed meeting of fellowships where the kind of sharing takes place. So, roundup and conventions are always a little mysterious to me, although there is a document on that, what makes an AA convention. There literally are AA conventions. And what is just sort of a gathering of AA people. And so you might want to, if you're interested in that, take a look at the actual document that describes that in terms of the distinctions. And on sober cruises, you know, it's not an AA event. It's a event of people who want to go on a cruise. They just happen to have a common ingredient. All right, they're not members of the PTA, they're not members of the Boy Scouts, they're members of AA. That's the commonality in this particular group, but they can't call it an AA cruise, all right? They can call it a cruise where there are AA members, that would be fine, all right? Oh, sure, please.
Like participating.
Okay, it goes down, you squeeze the, yeah, there you go.
Ooh. So Barbara, member of both programs actually.
Barbara.
And one thing I was thinking about, I was at an AA meeting, a business meeting in New York a while ago, and I remember someone saying, like, everyone was getting on the bandwagon of a certain way the group should be doing something or starting a meeting. And I remember, like, thinking to myself, oh, yeah, like, of course everyone's right. And someone way in the back said something that everyone else was just kind of like, well, what is that guy thinking? You know, it's kind of like, you know, like, you're blue, but you're not, right? And I remember my sponsor sitting next to me because I was like, you know? And she said, no, it's really important to listen to outliers, to people that, and I just sort of like being blown away. Like, my whole world changed. I was like in school at the time. I was like, wow. Like, maybe it is really important to that person that doesn't seem to make any sense or that has an opinion that's very different from what the mainstream is to take that into consideration as well. So I wanted to share that because I remember being really like,
and that's the spirit of the group conscience. That's exactly the spirit of the group conscience.
So, and then being a member of both programs, because I hear it more in, I guess, the experience. I feel sometimes weird being an alcoholic and Al-Anon and an addict because I hear, like, well, you know, those alcoholics, you know, or you know how they are. Yeah. And and I think it's actually kind of unfortunate. I'm in my opinion mode now, totally, but it's like no one can truly understand what anyone else's addict alcoholic story is. But I get the Al-Anon side is that people have had experiences that have led them to Al-Anon. So, but it's always a weird kind of, you know, and then I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm there as a member of Al-Anon, not as a member of AA, but it is kind of, that's my opinion, hard to hear that. But then again, the person could be new and there's lots of different ways. So, but I still am puzzled as a member of both. And there are meetings that are more accepting. You do get people in both programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yep.
The culture of meetings differ based on who attends it and the strong personalities of the meeting. All right. Question 7. Define oppose. What does oppose mean? Write a paragraph about any opposition that you experience in yourself in AA, at work, personal relationships, family, and friends. Anybody have a reflection on that? The word oppose.
Kim, Al-Anon.
Kim.
So I had a definition of oppose to place opposite or against something as to provide resistance or contrast or be to strive against. And I was thinking about this in some of my Al-Anon meetings too, how
I really oppose when people use the meetings as therapy sessions and they right. hash out all the details of their situations. I mean, all the
right.
details.
Right, right.
And, you know, and so I really have to pause and stop because I am in judgment right away of like, this is unacceptable, you know.
Well, but is that judgment unacceptable? That sounds like an appropriate response to what's going on inappropriately. But so the real question is, then what do you do about it?
Right. So, but then I have had in the last couple of weeks, I've had the same kind of thought that you've had, like, well, all right, let me have another perspective on this.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, maybe these are new people who are getting used to their feelings and they don't know how to, so everything comes out like vomit, you know?
Love and tolerance.
So I'm there as a person who has all I have is my experience, strength, and hope.
Yeah.
So once again, I'm back to me. Why is it bothering me?
Well, that's the right question. Why is it bothering me? And then the second is the judgment that you call judgment negatively. I think it was judgment in the sense of an observation. And that is, this was inappropriate. And so then, but then you could look at that also and say, is it or not? And you did do that. And you said, well, maybe they're just new people. Because Bill Wilson in the Big Book doesn't talk about meetings very much. But one comment he does make is that we meet weekly, so that newcomers can bring their problems. So that is absolutely right, underscore what you just talked about. And I know that for the first 4 years in AA, because nobody stopped me and I didn't have any sponsor direction about it, I used meetings as, because I only went to participation meetings, you could guess why. But anyway. I should be so embarrassed. But I'm not. And I used it as group therapy. Now, I didn't know that's what I was doing because that's all I knew, you know. And it was a relief. And I kept coming back because I was connected and they said, keep coming back. Yeah. And until I then heard somebody share about a solution, not just the problems. And that changed the entire course of my life. Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's go to question number 8. Yes, please.
One other thing about the
please.
Hi, I'm Kevin in Al-Anon and SLAA.
Kevin.
And so about a pose, and you said when there is that, when you, there is something that's inappropriate, then what do you do about it? You know, you asked that to Kim.
Thank you.
And I don't know the answer to that for myself.
Yeah.
And there's the example I'm going to share, there was a meeting. And a guy was there who was really inappropriate at a different meeting.
Yes.
So people were opposed to that because he came into this meeting and they're like, hey, this guy can't be in this meeting because he was really inappropriate at another meeting.
Wow.
And so they got up and they confronted him in our meeting.
Wow.
And so I understand their point of view because he was very, very inappropriate and threatening in a different meeting to somebody. So they didn't want that.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I'm sitting here in this meeting, and the guy is not inappropriate in this meeting.
There you go.
And the only people disrupting this meeting are these people.
Perfect.
So I'm like, that's inappropriate. But you're...
Perfect.
But you're quite... And the guy even said so. He's like, I'm just sitting here. I just want to have a meeting. I just want to, you know... but they got in the meeting, got up in his face.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, you know, I'm giving the lead share. And they are like, you know, talking to him, like, guy, you know, confronting him. It's like, that's not cool, man. Like, but to your question, I did not know. What I actually did was I left the meeting because that was not a safe, comfortable place for me.
Yep. And that's a retreat. I mean, that's a good strategy for survival, But a different, and thank you, Kevin, for coming up, and because it was an unconcluded question that I'd asked of Kim, and I forgot about it. And that is, so what would have been appropriate if Kim was then concerned? I mean, she did the appropriate thing, which was examine herself and her motives and her own inventory. But if, in fact, she had concluded that that comment was indeed inappropriate, what was the appropriate action? My recommendation is that she would go to the secretary, check herself out with the secretary, see if, in fact, she's validated in the inappropriateness of the share, and then remind the secretary that it's the secretary's job to monitor that. Yeah, because that's the role of a secretary, not the role of the people in the meeting, because then you'd just have anarchy. But the role of the secretary, as I understand it, is in fact to manage and monitor the meeting so that it stays within the format and the spirit and the culture of the meeting. You know, that needs a broad swath, of course. So I'm so glad you followed up with that.
In my example, I think the secretary was part of, you know, that confrontation.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so I didn't know what to do, so I left.
Yep, and the best part is that when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. That's for sure, absolutely. All right, well. Say what? Yep. So I have a watch. I can take care of the time. Thank you for the reminder, though. Our respective 12-step fellowships help their members maintain their personal recovery and encourage them to offer to share their recovery experience freely with others who have a similar problem. This we owe to our fellowship's future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united. For on unity depends our lives and the lives of those to come. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, we want the hand of our fellowship always to be there. And for that, we are responsible. After a moment of silence, please join me in the prayer of St. Francis. It's really the prayer of the peacemaker, isn't it? Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you in December.